Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. I hope your new year is going well. We are just 1 week in, just about to start our second week into the month. And yeah, I just hope that for you this is a good, blessed new year. January is often the month that we try to kind of reinvent ourselves, to modify the way we live, the way we do things, to become better in some way or other. The phrase new year, new me demonstrates this. Often though, these changes last for about the first couple of weeks, or maybe as far as the month of February, before we slide back into old habits and patterns of life. I wonder how many people have already made and broken their New Year resolutions. There's probably many reasons for our inability to keep our New Year's resolutions, but I think a couple of reasons are firstly, the changes are only superficial or unimportant, and so the resolve to keep up with them fades. And secondly, we try to make these changes in our own strength and our own power rather than relying on God. So for the month of January, we are going to be reflecting on what God might want us to do differently. Last week, we considered the concept of gratitude. God wants us to be thanksgiving people. And this week, we'll be reflecting on the idea of forgiveness. God calls us to be people full of forgiveness. When we are hurt or suffering, there is a great temptation to do one of two things to cope with the pain. Either we try to bury it, sweeping it under the carpet and trying to ignore the pain coming from that wound. Or we become angry and resentful, allowing bitterness to build up in us. Neither method allows us to heal and move on from the pain, and so we remain chained to the hurt that we are feeling. But Jesus pointed us to a better way, the way of forgiveness. So what does this mean for us in practice? How can we learn to forgive as God forgives us? So I'm going to read from Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creation, of its creator. Here there is no Gentile, no or Greek. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So how do we forgive? Well, I think the first step towards forgiveness is surrender. We sometimes struggle with this idea of surrender as we associate it with failing, losing the battle, waving a white flag, allowing the enemy to overcome us. We have come to believe that surrender is a demonstration of weakness. But when we surrender to God, it is a sign of great strength. Strength of faith that we trust in God, and strength of character that we are willing to humble ourselves and recognize our need for God. Surrendering to God means being open-handed with our whole lives. And this includes giving to God our hurt, pain, and struggles. When we give this to God, we are recognizing his authority to deal with it, and we give up all right for vengeance and the right to hold a grudge. It is natural for us to want to see people face the consequences of their actions. We want people to acknowledge our pain and experience something in return. But the Bible reminds us that only God can judge people's hearts. In James's letter, he reminds us that there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbour? And that's found in James 4, verse 12. By surrendering to God, we allow him to control whether a person receives punishment or grace for their actions towards us. We choose to allow God to judge their hearts, giving up our chance to judge them for ourselves. This sounds easy in principle, but in practice, it requires us to dedicate ourselves to God and trust that he will act with wisdom and justice and righteousness. And we have to choose to trust God with both our hearts and our minds. In his letter to the Colossian church, Paul says, "Set your hearts on things above," and again, "set your minds on things above." This repetition reminds us that forgiveness is not just an intellectual exercise, but one we have to allow our emotions to surrender to. And equally, forgiveness is not just about our hearts, but it is something we must trust to the wisdom and knowledge of God rather than our own reasoning. So much of what Paul refers to as our earthly nature revolves around holding onto our hurts and pains. In the list of things that Paul tells us to get rid of, we see some of the factors that cause us to find forgiveness difficult or even impossible. Impurity, evil desires and greed, anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language. I don't know about anyone else, but if I am struggling to forgive someone, I know that I will be experiencing at least one of those things in that list that tells me to hold on to that grudge because they deserve to suffer. It is only when we surrender our pain before God, surrendering our hearts and our minds, that we can begin to truly forgive. Forgiveness requires us to surrender to God, because true forgiveness is only possible through God's power. Paul instructs us, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." By surrendering to Christ, we become God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And God clothes us with the characteristics of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, love, which are all things that we need to enable us to forgive. Without God, we remain in our old nature of sin, that earthly nature where we cling to those destructive patterns of behaviour that cause us to be filled with hate. But when we are filled with the power and grace of God, given to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. The ability to forgive comes from God, as he has modelled perfect forgiveness for us. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We are called to be a people of forgiveness because we have experienced the greatest forgiveness thanks to Jesus. Jesus told a parable to kind of demonstrate this, a parable of a king who forgave his servant a great debt. The servant thanks the king and then immediately goes to another servant and demands this second servant pays back the tiny debt that he owes. When the second servant is unable to pay his debt, he is thrown into prison. The king is justifiably angry and says, "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" The same principles apply to us as they did to the servant. We have been forgiven much, and so we need to show similar levels of forgiveness towards others. A theologian called A.W. Tozer put it another way, a more simple but also a more blunt way. He stated, "You have been forgiven, so act like it. Act as if you have been given the most wonderful gift that you want to share with others. Act in the way that you have been forgiven by forgiving others like it." But we all know that forgiveness can be really hard. And Paul acknowledges this when he says, "Bear with each other." The phrase "bear with" could also be translated to mean to endure, have patience with, suffer, persist. Forgiveness requires us to work, to endure, to even suffer as we overcome the pain and need for recompense. To do this, we need to fully rely on the power of God, power of God at work in us. Our new self is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. But this isn't an immediate transformation. Instead, God works away at us like a sculptor chiseling away at a piece of work. God is making us new, but only if we surrender all of our hearts and minds to him. And this leads me on to my final point, because forgiveness is a daily, constant choice. Because God is slowly transforming us into the people we are called to be, we need to commit to following him and surrendering to him each and every day. And this includes committing to surrender the pain and hurt to him, to help us forgive those who have hurt us. We are called to make a conscious choice to imitate Christ and to live by his values and rules in every decision we make, including the relationships we have with the people around us. The phrase Paul uses when he says, "Set your hearts and set your minds on things above," literally means to keep on setting. It's an active tense, which means we need to keep doing it daily, continuously. I remember this being highlighted to me particularly one day when I was listening to a talk by R.T. Kendall a few years ago, and he said forgiveness is like an onion. You forgive someone and you think it is all over and done with. Then something will trigger you to remember it again and you feel the pain of it again. And you realise there is another layer of forgiveness, like an onion, that you need to peel back to bring before God, asking for his healing to forgive. Martin Luther King Jr. remarked that forgiveness is not an occasional act, it is a constant attitude. We are fortunate enough to have been forgiven the greatest debt imaginable, and God calls us to live in this atmosphere of forgiveness. It is not so much that we forgive individual grievances, but more that we embrace the quality of forgiveness and make that our life's core. So as you look back at 2021 and remember all that occurred, take time to look back with an attitude of forgiveness, with a mind that seeks to heal rather than destroy, a heart that longs to love rather than hate. The power of forgiveness is one that gives in both directions. It helps one person to be freed from guilt and shame, and allows another person to be freed from bitterness and hate. Forgiveness allows the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Or alternatively, is there anyone you need to seek forgiveness from? Surrender it all to God and rely on His power to give you the ability to release your hold on the pain and let forgiveness flow. So let's pray. Almighty God, you have forgiven us such great debt, a debt that we could never, ever repay to you. And you call us to be people of forgiveness, people who work through your power to bring your forgiving grace into this world. And so, Lord, we pray that we would surrender all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our anger and bitterness, all of our need for revenge. We'd surrender it all to you. If there are particular circumstances or particular people that we really need your help for forgiveness to, Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to give it all up to you. And then once we have done that, Lord, help us to rely on your pain, to rely on your power, rather. Rely on your power to forgive the pain that is hurting us. Lord, it is tempting to keep hold of grudges and to seek revenge, but you teach us how to forgive, and you give us the ability to forgive by your power, giving us all that we need to build this forgiveness in us. And Lord, I don't just pray this for us so that we do it once, or even twice, or even 100 times, but Lord, that we live in an attitude of forgiveness. Help us to have forgiveness at our core. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.